أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We've been looking at Surah Al-Kahf, a late Makki surah, part of Hamidat, place in Quran City. And that is one of the five surahs of the Quran that begin with Hamd, which is praise and thanks. We divided it into eight sections, and we've looked at the first three sections. The first one talking about the Quran and no deviation in there. The second, the story of Ashabul Kahf, the narrative of Ashabul Kahf. The third was a parable about the two gardens. And today we will continue with the fourth section, which looks at guidance and also a narrative about Prophet Adam alayhi salam. So the last section ended with Qiyamah, accountability. In essence, the end of the journey of the human being, being Qiyamah. And we look at this section, the fourth section, which starts off with the beginning of the story of the human being. That is the story of Prophet Adam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ayah 50 says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ. And when we said to the angels, do sajda to Adam, they all did sajda, but Iblis. And Allah here says, كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَكَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. He was of the jinn, and thus crossed the line, in other words, disobeyed the command of his Rabb. So where there are others who believe that Shaitan was a fallen angel, here Allah says he was of the jinn. And it was because he was able to, in other words, he had free will, as a result of this, he violated divine commandments. And then in ayah 54, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. And we have explained in this Qur'an in different ways, in multiple ways, every kind of example. And the human being, however, is argumentative. He is contentious. Our first reaction is always almost, why do I have to do this? I don't agree with it. And Allah tells us why in the next ayah. He says, وَمَا مَنَعَ النَّاسَ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا إِذْ جَاءَهُمُ الْهُدَى. And what stops the human being from believing when the guidance comes to them? وَيَسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّهُمْ. And what stops the human being from asking forgiveness of their Rabb? إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ سُنَّةُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. Except that they took the same traditions of their ancestors. They fell into the same traps. They kept on doing the same thing. Remember Surah Yasin, لِتُنذِرَ قَوْمًا مَا أُنذِرَ آبَاؤُهُمْ فَهُمْ غَافِلُونَ. This is to warn a people whose ancestors, whose forefathers were not warned, and therefore they were heedless. So what kept human beings from following the guidance and asking for forgiveness is that they're doing the same thing that their ancestors did, the same traditions. أَوْ يَعْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ قُبْلًا. Or the punishment would come to them face to face. And then he says, وَمَا نُرْسِلُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِلَّا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنْذِرِينَ. And we did not send messengers, but only as givers of good news and warnings. وَيُجَادِلُ الَّذِينَ قَفَرُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ لِيُدْحِذُوا بِهِ الْحَكَّ وَاتَّخَذُوا عَيَاتِ وَمَا أُنذِرُوا هُذُوَ. And those who covered up the truth, they argued to undo the truths. And they took the signs that came as a warning as a mockery. So in other words, they took the signs of Allah, the teachings of the Prophet, and tried to dismantle them, to make them sound illogical, to make a mockery of them, which is possibly the most powerful way of undermining any teaching. And then a very powerful warning in ayah 57, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا. And who is more wrong, who is more unjust than the one to whom the reminder of the communications of his Rabb came? In other words, the ayat of the Qur'an came, فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا. And he ignored them, he turned away from them. So although the ayah initially is addressed to the Kuffar of Makkah, it's talking to us too. We hear the advice of the Quran in every salah, in every majlis, in every recitation. And if we ignore it or turn away from it, then we are part of this ayah. So that's the first thing. The second thing he says is, وَنَسِيَ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ. They forget what their two hands have sent ahead of them. In other words, they're oblivious of accountability. The things that we have to be answerable for. The things that will contribute to our final destiny. So now the consequences. For those who ignore the message of the Quran, for those who have no concept of accountability in their lives, Allah says, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ أَكِنَّةً أَنْ يَفْقَهُوهُ وَفِي أَذَانِهِمْ وَقْرًا. We place upon their hearts a veil or a seal which prevents light from entering. In other words, the light of revelation, the light of guidance, which takes away their ability to understand. أَنْ يَفْقَهُوهُ. The word يَفْقَهُوهُ is the same thing that we talk about when we talk about fiqh. Fiqh is internalizing something. There's a difference between understanding and internalizing, making it a part of one's life, one's behavior. A faqih is somebody who internalizes and understands deeply. So here he says, ignoring, turning away from his signs, from the Quran, will take away this internalizing of the understanding of life. And in their ears, there's a barrier, a heaviness. So in other words, they hear it, but they're not hearing it. How many majalis have we attended? How much have we understood or internalized? Majalis, lectures, lessons, they're not a form of entertainment. They're to be internalized, to be understood, so we can reach our full potential. And then he continues to say, وَرَبُّكَ الْغَفُورُ ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ. And your Rabb is forgiving, the owner of mercy, the Rabb of mercy, to whom mercy belongs to. لَوْ يُؤَخِذَهُمْ بِمَا كَسَبُوا الْعَجَّلَ لَهُمُ الْعَذَابِ. And a proof and a demonstration of his mercy is that if he punished them for what they did, then the consequences of their actions would be expedited. That is, punishment would be immediate. But he says, بَلْ لَهُمْ مَوْعِدٌ لَنْ يَجِدُوا مِنْ دُونِهِ مَوْئِلًا. But we've given them a deadline, an appointed time. And now from that, from the deadline, they will not find a refuge. And the next ayah he says, this is just talking about individuals, but now he says, وَتِلْقَ الْقُرَىٰ حَلَقْنَاهُمْ لَمَّا ظَلَمُوا. We destroyed whole towns because they acted unjustly. And even for them, وَجَعَلْنَا لِمَحْلِكِهِمْ مَوْعِدًا. For their destruction, there was an appointed time. So now we come to the fifth section. And we can see that in between these stories and parables, there are three narratives, one parable, and we can see interwoven the warnings of accountability, of not following the guidance. So now let's look at the story of Musa and Khidr. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ. And when Musa said to his young man, his intern, the one who recognized the prophethood of Musa and wanted to follow him everywhere. In Ahadith we find it is Yusha bin Nun. So in essence, he's the companion, the intern, the attendant of Prophet Musa in that journey. And Prophet Musa tells him, لَا أَبْرَهُ حَتَّى أَبْلُقَ الْمَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُكُبَ. I'm not going to stop. In other words, I'm committed. I will not stop until I reach the junction of the two seas or the two rivers where they merge together. And in Ahadith we find it is somewhere where there was probably a rock or a stone in the middle. And he stresses his commitment by saying, أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبَ. The Arabic term huqb means years and years, 70 to 80 years, sort of a lifetime. So he says, even if I have to spend lifetimes, I am going to go to this place. There is a narration that states that one of the Bani Israel asked Prophet Musa who the most learned person was, and he said, I am. And Allah addresses him and saying that he should say, Allah knows best, and that Prophet Khidr was more aware than him. So immediately Prophet Musa in his humility said, where is Khidr? And he was told that Khidr was in the site of the junction of the two seas or the two rivers. And its sign and a mystery was that he was to take a fish with him in a basket and he would go forth. And the place where Prophet Musa was to meet Prophet Khidr would be indicated by the fact that the fish would disappear when he got to that place. Now the ayah 61 after this says, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَجْمَعَ بَيْنِهِمَا نَسِيَا حُوتَهُمَا فَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ سَرَبًا. So when they reached the junction of the two rivers, they forgot their fish, and it took its way into the sea going away. Now let's see what happened. How did that happen? Ayah 62. فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَ قَالَ لِفَتَاهُ آتِنَا غَدَانَا لَقَدْ لَكِينَا مِنْ سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَسَبَ. But when they had gone a bit further, he said to his attendant, Yusha bin Nun, bring to us our morning meal because I'm really tired from this journey. And the attendant, Yusha bin Nun, says, قَالَ أَرَأَيْتَ إِذْ أَوَيْنَا إِلَى السَّخْرَةٍ فَإِنِّي نَسِيتُ الْحُوتِ. He said, do you see, you know when we took rest on that rock, I forgot to tell you all about the fish. So the narration tells us that Prophet Musa put the fish in the basket and told his attendant that wherever he didn't find the fish in the basket, he would tell Prophet Musa and they would know this is where they were going to meet Prophet Khidr. But when they took refuge, or rather they took rest at the stone, the attendant who was awake saw that the fish escaped into the sea and he didn't wake Prophet Musa up. And then when they went on with their journey, in fact for a whole day and a whole night, he forgot to tell Prophet Musa. It was only when Prophet Musa said that they had to stop somewhere and have something to eat that he remembered about it. And he continues to tell Prophet Musa in Ayah 63, وَمَا أَنْسَانِيهُ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانُ أَنْ أَذْكُرَ. Nothing made me forget to speak about it but shaitan. وَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ عَجَبًا. And the fish took its way into the river. It was absolutely amazing. And so Prophet Musa says, قَالَ ذَلِكَ مَا قُنَّا نَبْغِي فَارْتَدَّ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمَا قَصَصًا. He says, this is what we are waiting for. This is what we were looking for. So we have to go back and retrace our steps. Now some of us Fassirin tell us that the junction of the seas actually is talking about the two seas of prophethood, that of Prophet Musa and Prophet Khidr. Musa alayhi salam was the outward sea of knowledge and Prophet Khidr the inward sea of knowledge. Now we will continue with what happens when this outward sea of knowledge and this inward sea of knowledge meet, inshallah, in our next talk. May Allah make us those of Ahlul Quran. May He grant us the tawfiq to be the interns of those who are knowledgeable and learn from them, just like Yusha bin Nun did from Prophet Musa alayhi salam. فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ.